Hola, mi amigo.
Buenos días, mi Han,
Juan. Juan.
Are you going to be Juan Semple now?
Juan Semple, reporting live from Mexico. Now, this is our first international broadcast.
That's right.
And coming
Delightful.
live from the humid shores of Acamal, Mexico.
And I'm coming from the humid shores of the Hudson River.
So, it was a brutal few days getting down here and transitioning, but set up, and we will be rocking and rolling from Mexico for the next 3 months.
Ay caramba, as the locals say.
Locals, yeah, they're like, oh, no mas, no mas. Now, this is episode 74 of Fall Territory. I'm John Semple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And this is the Kenley Jansen episode.
Kenley Jansen, the man who recovered his cutter just in time
Yeah.
to save the Dodgers season.
And he's been doing quite well,
Yeah,
as have
I
the
will say
Dodgers.
he's been giving up random home runs a little bit more than he used to still, which of course every time I see it happens reminds me of that World Series where it was just like, you gave up a home run to who? Marwin Gonzalez? Come on.
Yeah, you get paid too much money to do that.
Yeah.
Got
That
to
was the
live
turning
there.
point. That was the turning point of that World Series. They had that game locked down. They had Kenley Jansen coming in, and
Was that the extra inning game?
no, that was in the ninth inning.
Okay.
Oh yeah, I wound up going extra innings. Yeah. But hold on, I need to grab some tissues here to to dab my tears. So close.
Yeah, and it was after a lot of years of getting closer, and kind of I guess you could say the Kershaw disappointments in the playoffs,
Yeah,
and
among others.
and then getting that close, and but. There's a chance.
Yeah.
National League is underwhelming this year, for sure.
I mean, the Dodgers are the best team in the National League, but that really isn't saying a lot. Though I think the Cubs are still very good, as I've said all year. And the Nationals, I think, could be good, but for some reason,
They just
well, I guess they started being good after the trade deadline, but of course it's against the Mets, so a grain of salt, right?
And they caused quite a flurry on trade deadline day on Tuesday because some rumor leaked out that Harper was available and the
That's right, that
social media blew up.
he was actively being traded, and then the story was that then ownership pulled the plug on it. That there were actually deals being made for Bryce Harper, and then ownership pulled the plug on it. They want to try to keep him, I guess. Or they just don't want to give up on the season, you know? Kind of both, right?
Yeah, probably both. I think they have a chance of signing him. I know we've talked about this before, but
I still don't understand why they would want that, but I don't understand their marketing analytics and blah 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 blah, blah, but they don't need him.
right. But what they may wind up doing, though, because we've talked about the 1 year deal, he may stay where he is for one more year.
Maybe.
For 30, 35 million, 1 year deal.
Yeah, maybe. Wouldn't it be cool if he just did 1 year deals?
Yeah, that
That would
would.
be kind of cool. He strikes me as the sort that won't do that, though, just because, first of all, baseball contracts are guaranteed. So you get the 10-year deal if you can get the 10-year
Right,
deal.
right.
But don't be surprised if he puts on a show at the end of the season and then just enough to get people to go, all right, we'll give him 10 years,
Yeah, well, watch Washington like reel off 15 straight wins like the Rockies did in 2007, and they
Yes.
get into the playoffs, and he has a great postseason, and that's all people will remember.
I believe when the Rockies did that, though, they had their trick was getting rid of Clint Hurdle, right?
Was
Isn't that
it?
the year that Jim Tracy took over for Clint Hurdle? I used to make that joke.
Yeah,
Jim
I think I might
Clint
have
Hurdle is such a bad manager that he makes Jim Tracy inspire players. For those who don't know, ladies and gentlemen, Jim Tracy was not inspirational.
No,
One
he's
of the worst managers the Dodgers have ever had.
kind of quiet guy.
Single-handedly killed Fred McGriff's Hall of Fame chances. No, we'll just put Fred McGriff out there, the 40-year-old first baseman. We'll put him out there for everyone, even the lefties that he can't hit, that he strikes out with like some rank amateur. Let's put him out there for his veteran presence
and his high contract, probably
right
at the time.
But no, but see, they if they had just rested him like you should do with an older baseball player, he wouldn't have gotten injured, and he could have just kept mashing right-handed pitchers, which he was doing that year. He was mashing them, John. They were being mashed. Anyway, I'll never forgive him. I don't even know why I care. It's Fred McGriff. Yeah. I don't know him.
Yeah, you're not buddies, are you?
No, not at all. Not even on Facebook.
You probably have heckled him before, I'm sure.
I actually have not.
Oh. Okay.
I only heckle people who deserve to be heckled.
And from the bleachers or the upper deck?
Doesn't matter. I will shout my barbaric yelp or whatever. I don't know. You guys remember that poetry?
No, I don't.
It was in that movie Dead Poets Society.
I don't remember the lines of that movie.
But it's not the line from the movie. It's poetry, man. Come on. Yeah, John, this isn't just baseball.
Yelps?
It's baseball. Yes.
I'll have to watch it again.
Look, this is baseball and stuff, okay?
And stuff? No, I got it. I know.
And so sometimes I'm not up on my poetry is stuff.
No, it's okay. I'm okay with poetry. I just don't remember barbaric yelping.
Yeah, do you remember they were like...
Is that when they were standing on the desks and doing all that stuff?
Yeah, I shout my barbaric yelps. That's what it was. Look, there's two people listening to this that are like, yeah, Jed, exactly. Great scene in that movie.
Get with it, John.
It's Walt Whitman, dude.
Okay.
Mr. New York. Or Brooklyn, technically. Lived with his mom until he was old and dead.
Oh, nice man. Good son.
He was like the original online troll. What a nerd.
Basement, too?
Probably, yeah.
Let's talk some headlines.
Oh, yeah, baseball, right. Okay, so here's the deal. We're not going to get into the trade deadline, too much of the trade deadline stuff. There's a couple of trade deadline points. But later on, we're going to do the Baldwin scale, comparing each of the general managers of each team to the various Baldwins.
Yes.
And
this is like a 7-year running now?
Yes,
seventh year?
This would be the seventh edition of the Baldwin scale.
Exciting. I'm excited.
Yes. It was a very proud moment for me as a creative person when I came up with the Baldwin scale. But we'll discuss that more later.
Well, just folks, if you want to, you know, get caught up on the Baldwin scale, just type in Baldwin scale Jed Rigney and it will you'll get all the different previous years will show up.
Yes.
Right at the top of the lifts, because there's no other Baldwin scale Jed Rigney's out there.
That's right. But also, don't search for Jed Rigney male enhancement.
Did you have a product that you tried to hawk at some point?
I'd rather not talk about it, John.
Okay, headlines. So is this out of Vegas that the Astros and Dodgers are listed as the odds-on favorites to win the World Series?
This is immediately following the trade deadline.
Okay.
Astros and Dodgers are now listed as and this is ahead of the Yankees and the Red Sox, by the way. The Red Sox, who are just destroying everything.
Yeah. And it may be the best Red Sox team ever.
They are sounding their barbaric yawps all over the league. And they got a bunch of games against the Orioles coming up, who, by the way, are like... They're barbaric turds.
Right. They're not doing anything. Well, they're rebuilding, obviously. They got rid of everybody, pretty much.
They
emptied the cupboards.
Yes.
There's nothing left there. I can't imagine any fans wanting to go there.
You know who didn't get traded, though, was Adam Jones.
Yeah, that surprises me.
Blocked that trade.
He blocked the trade?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't read that.
Yeah, blocked the trade to the Phillies.
Why?
Man, I don't know. Wow. Maybe he just wanted to stay in Baltimore, you know?
Maybe he wants to be a part of the rebuilding culture and lead the youngins.
No, he's a free agent at the end of the year. They won't resign.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Or maybe his angle with his agent was like, look, no one's going to sign you next year. Your one shot here is that Baltimore decides to keep you on as like sort of a novelty thing. Though that's not true. He's had a solid year.
Yeah, but he's
someone will want
him. In his mid-30s now?
Yeah. He definitely feels like one of those guys who's going to be like scrapping around for a 2-year, $16 million deal when March comes around.
Right, and his agent will be saying that he's looking for a 3-year, you know, $36 million dollar deal.
Exactly. Anyway, so that's the news.
So that's good, though, but it could be a rematch in the World Series.
Dodgers, yeah, I mean, it's just revenge. The odds, though. You know, like, I still see this Red Sox team as, I'm not saying unbeatable, but it's, whew, man, they're good. And the Astros, I'm be honest with you, they look like they're, Marwin Gonzalez isn't what he was last year by a lot. They brought up Kyle Tucker. He didn't immediately start being the best player in baseball, so they sent him back down. The new standard for young players is really remarkable.
Yeah, you have to deliver, you know, you have to hit a home run in your first at bat.
Yeah. Well, you know, Bregman, remember when he came up a couple years ago, it was like 1-for-34 or something like that, and they were like, oh, my gosh, we wasted a first-round pick on him. Like, eh, let it play out. Now he's like, what, a top 20 player in the league?
All-star game MVP? All,
yeah, I mean, he's great.
He's a scrapper, for sure.
But he does everything, you know, plays shortstop, plays third base. He plays, he hits for power. He has steals. He hits for average. He gets, like, he does all the things.
And you know this all so well because he's probably on several of your fantasy teams.
That is correct, John. I fell in love at a young age with Alex Bregman.
As a fantasy player, but not as a beater of the Dodgers in the World Series.
No, I honestly delete that from my cache. Like, I have no recollection of that. The only one that really sticks for me really is the Marwin Gonzalez,
right? You do bring that up Kenley quite Jansen. A bit.
I honestly was so traumatized by that moment. I remember exactly where I was sitting. I was sitting in a car at a stoplight with the radio on, and I was just like, all right, good, we'll wrap up this game, and then we'll go to the next game, and we got a good situation going on here. And then all of a sudden, Marwin Gonzalez hit a home run off of Kenley Jansen. And it took Kenley Jansen until May to recover from it.
It seems like it. But the hangover was severe.
Yeah.
So speaking of severe hangovers, the Yankees seem to be in a little bit of a nosedive.
Yeah, they're a bit woozy right now.
Yeah, and Aaron Judge having a chip bone fracture doesn't
get
help.
Hit by a pitch, man.
So he's out for, like 3-4 weeks?
Yeah, 3 or 4 weeks. And I was surprised they didn't really acquire someone to fill in for him. I was surprised by that move.
Yeah, they mostly pitching focus.
Yeah. We'll mention later, I was very impressed with what they did do, what the Yankees did do, but that was one area where I felt was like, well, all right.
Yeah, they knew going in that they were going to be down that bad. So now is an opportunity for Stanton to pick up the pace. I'm surprised he hasn't yet because usually he really turns things on every season with the Marlins in July. So July, August, September are usually big months for him. So we'll see what happens in the next 2 months.
Yeah, he's got a really high batting average right now. Since the last 6 weeks or so, which is okay, good.
He's just settling in.
Yeah.
He's still going to hit 35, 40 home runs this
year.
Yeah,
he's going to become like a line drive hitter, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, just what they paid for.
Giancarlo Stanton, 6'6" line drive hitter.
That's what they paid for. So the Mets, I was transitioning down to Mexico, so I have been completely out of it. I even didn't even know about all the trades that happened until Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
So the Mets suffered their worst loss in team history. Is that like number of runs given up?
Yeah. This thing was so ugly. Jose Reyes pitched at one point.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And
that wasn't
Steven
a game
Matz,
that you went to, was it?
No. Steven Matz started off the game and then gave up, I think, 7 runs, which good thing I had him on my fantasy baseball team just to make things even better for me. And then after the game, it was like, yeah, Steven Matz has a bit of a dead arm. Like, yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, we saw that live
on
TV.
We saw it. Yeah, is that your prognosis, doctor? Anyway, so...
what was the final score?
It was something like 25.
Really?
To 4-6. I don't know. It was so crazy. And this is how crazy it was. The next day, two different people who I don't know at all in New York just looked at me and were like, God, you see that Mets game?
So everybody's talking about the Mets, but for the wrong reason.
Everyone's talking about the Mets. Good for them. Good for the Mets. But like, this is the most Metsiest season that ever Mets'd.
Right.
They are They're shouting their barbaric Mets.
Like we said last week, the steaming pile of Mets.
Yeah.
And their dumpster fire, whatever you want to call it, of a season.
They had an actual dumpster fire at their stadium. They should have just canceled it. They should have just said, you know what? We'll take a third of the wins. You give us a third of the wins. You have two-thirds of the losses. Let's just spare ourselves the embarrassment. They killed a vendor?
Yeah. And it's not a good season.
And maybe it all comes down to that protective screen that stops the T-shirt cannon from
satisfying the fans.
I mean, really, maybe that's what it comes down to.
Could be. You have legitimate gripe.
I think so.
Okay, so another DL stint. First time for Jose Altuve. First time in his career in seven seasons he's on the DL.
Yeah, that's why I thought it was worth mentioning. First time ever.
And how long? Is it a short-term DL stint?
It's one of those things where I don't think they really know what's wrong with him, but clearly, if you look at his numbers from the year, he's been injured. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, but his numbers are all down. His power's down. His speed is down. All of his, skills are diminished, and that usually means an injury. So maybe they're just like, well, wait a minute. Jose, are you injured? Because your numbers stink. And he's like, yeah.
Yeah, been hurt all season.
All season? Like, hey, I'm willing to go out there. No, 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 we got it. We got it, Jose. We got it. We got that you're willing to go out there. We all are. All right? Are you injured? And then he just says, eventually he caved in and said yes. Or they just said, you know what? We think you're injured. We're putting you on the DL. So, and I admire that about athletes. Like, no athlete. And I've done this. You know, you're got some a sprained ankle. You just go out there and play on the sprained ankle.
Right.
You know, you can't really feel it much when you're playing because you get all the adrenaline going and whatever. Right. Even if it is like, oh, you can't really run like a normal person or...
You're gimping down the court.
Yeah. You can't pivot or whatever. You know, you're still out there. You're just like, you know.
And the second you take that shoe off.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like Jiffy Pop.
I've done like 3-hour beach volleyball games. Not single games, but just, over and over again. Right. With a bad knee. And then it's like, hey, no, it's fine. Because you're like, I don't feel anything. And then afterwards, you're just like completely swollen and gross.
I don't know. I know we don't. You're not a huge follower of the Tour de France, but an aside there.
Not unless they're stepping up their game and having more pepper spray.
But this was good though. You will enjoy this one. This guy Philippe Gilbert was leading the race. It's one race. He was early in the stage. It was on a downhill on a descent. He miscalculated a curve, had the back tire skid out from under him and went right into a retaining wall and flipped over the wall and down a 10-15 foot embankment.
See, that's what they should be highlighting.
Right. And they did, because then they pulled him out. He gave the thumbs up, got on the bike, finished the race. There were still like 60-70 miles to go. And it was later, he was pulled out of the race because he had fractured his kneecap, but he rode.
Wow.
The rest of the race, he finished the race with a fractured kneecap. And they show a picture of him the next day. His knee is about the size of a basketball.
Yeah.
But he would finish the race. He didn't want to.
See, that's what I'm saying. Athletes. Even if they're completely doped up on steroids and performance-enhancing drugs like all cyclists are, they just want to fight through. They just want to keep competing.
They want to satisfy their fans. the other note from the Astros here is that they went after Roberto Osuna despite his domestic violence record, I guess you could say, his rap sheet.
Well, they dumped Ken Giles. World Series winning relief pitcher Ken Giles. They dumped him because he just wasn't getting his act together.
And he was beating himself up too much.
Yeah, literally. And he was literally, look it up, folks. He literally punches himself on the field. Yeah, and this is the thing I don't understand about the Blue Jays. Like, I understand you don't want the PR problem of Roberto Osuna, but, like, who cares?
That's part of the sport now.
Yeah, like...
I don't mean that in a way.
We both are like, no, it's awful. Like he should be, whatever, and whatever Canada's going to do to him is what they're going to do to him. And I just don't understand why you like this is like when the Reds gave away Aroldis Chapman to the Yankees. Like you already have the problem. Why make it worse by then not actually getting anything in return, and then have this guy? And then of course, when the Yankees traded Aroldis Chapman, they got Gleyber Torres.
Right.
Because like the media wasn't outraged at the all of this, and there were so many think pieces, you know, from the Astros fans, and like, well, we don't really need this in our clubhouse, and like, he wasn't doing it in the clubhouse, he was doing it at home. It's domestic violence. It's not stadium violence. That's a terrible joke.
Comedy can get away with
apologies to all domestic abuse sufferers. It's terrible. Good news, though. You got some good news?
Yeah. Matt Holliday has been resurrected from the grave.
Yes.
Signing with a minor league deal with the Rockies. How apropos.
No one wanted him last year. He was still putting up solid numbers, I thought, but he's in that mix of like corner outfielders that everybody has all they need. And
so maybe he gets to, it's a good place for him to go, Colorado, yeah. If he can show that he's still got it, because he'll get some home runs there for sure.
Well, it'll be great, I think, for the team. Like, you put him on the minor league team to get him into shape, right? Get him into game. Then you bring him up September 1st, and then he's at least a great clubhouse guy, right?
Absolutely.
When the rosters expand to whatever they expand to. If they have room on the 40-man roster for him, then great. Bring him up.
Yeah.
Great personality guy. Everyone loves him. Though I will say, every time I see that name, I do think of the song Holiday by Madonna, but as performed by Adam Sandler in The Wedding Singer, which is maybe the greatest cover of a song ever. It's pretty amazing.
I'm going to have to take your word on that. I saw that movie a long time ago, and I don't remember.
I saw it a long time ago too, John, and I also saw it very recently because it's a great film. It might be, I mean, the best Adam Sandler film is Punch Drunk Love. But that's not really like an Adam Sandler film. That's a P.T. Anderson film, and he gets all the credit for that. And that's in my top 10. But maybe the best Adam Sandler movie is Wedding Singer.
Yeah.
Great film. Totally rewatchable.
Yeah.
And again, the best cover of Holiday that you will ever hear.
I may have to dig that one up.
Yeah.
Watch it.
I mean, and by best, I mean it is horrifying, right? So
it's Adam Sandler movie, so
it's deliberately horrifying. That's what's so great about it. So
a lot of great covers in that. It's better than Little Nicky, right?
Okay. Funny story about Little Nicky, right? Now that's a terrible film, right? And he spent the whole movie talking like this, which was a great idea. And just absolutely horrifying. I went on this date with this girl, and we saw some movie. I don't remember what it was. It wasn't very good. But she's, you know, pretty girl. She was Austrian.
Nice.
And, you know, ooh, exotic. Ooh, you know, right? And I was like, you know, this is going well. Let's keep this night going, right? And she's like, yeah, let's go get something to eat or something, right? And then right after that, she starts talking about Adam Sandler movies. And she goes, what's that movie where she plays, and I apologize for the use of the word retard, but she did say retard. And maybe it's because she's Austrian and she just didn't know, but she used the word retard, where he plays like a retarded guy. And I was like, oh yeah, Little Nicky, I hate that movie so much. She goes, no. The one where he wears the blue suit.
Oh.
Yeah. She thought Punch Drunk Love was the worst Adam Sandler film.
That was a great movie.
I couldn't drop her off at her apartment fast enough. I don't know if I came to a complete stop, John.
She said she thought it was the worst movie?
Yeah. She thought Punch Drunk Love was the worst Adam Sandler film.
Well, maybe because people have an expectation of it being a comedy, and Punch Drunk Love is not a comedy, not by any means.
It has humorous stuff in it.
Yeah, but it's not an Adam Sandler comedy. It's like, I paid money to see Adam Sandler, not see Adam Sandler, you know,
figuring out his life. Yeah, no, I get it. What I'm saying is that she didn't mind Little Nicky and thought that Punch Drunk Love was the worst Adam Sandler film she'd ever seen, and or one of the worst films she's ever seen. I was stuck in the middle of like, well, do I actually have to now continue on to get something to eat, or can I just drop her off at home right now and say something came up?
You just went, check, please. We're good.
I was like, we went to get like a dessert or something, and it was just like, scarf it down. Okay, good. Back in the car. Drop you off. Bye. It was terrifying. That was it. I never saw her again. I never told her, too. I never told her. She like, oh, hey, what do you want to get? No, thanks.
Wow.
I felt like it was such a unrecoverable thing. It was such an irreconcilable difference.
Right.
I was like, yeah, I'm just saving us the trouble here.
Right. Yeah. You got it out right in the beginning.
Yeah. Look, I don't expect my wife to who I'm married to, as I would be, to like the music that I like or like the movies that I like, but I can't have them hate the movies that I like. That's a deal breaker.
Yeah, that, I can see that because it could only go downward from there.
John, I make movies.
Right, you know what you're doing.
If you don't like that movie, you're not going to like my movie. I don't want to be with someone who doesn't like my movies. It's pretty simple.
Right, there you go.
Like, there's some elements of Punch Drunk Love in Nowhere Girl. Like, there's that, tonally, there's some similarities to it.
So there's like, some inspiration.
Then I'm going to be, like, married to some Austrian girl who thinks my film is the second worst film she's ever seen? I don't need that. I get enough from the Amazon reviewers.
Right. The bots.
The bots. No, the bots do the... are the ones who do the pirate ones for the documentary. The bots.
Oh, that's true.
The way the bots write is so amazing. I love it so much. They write the best reviews. It's like, and always talks about how great the acting is in the documentary, which is, that's the dead giveaway.
Right. That's good.
There's no acting, people. It's a documentary. We're documenting something. Anyway, but that's not Nowhere Girl. That's Fools on the Hill. And were you talking about something? Oh, baseball, right.
Baseball, yeah, sure. So did this really happen? Major League Baseball tweeted out a tweet that said RT to trigger a Yankee fan. What was the tweet?
It was a video of the Rays winning a game against the Yankees.
Wow. Major League Baseball wants to pile on the Yankees?
Well, you know, I think they're the foil, right? Like, they're the heel. They're the, the world's a wrestling match now, John. The world's... Right. The world is turning into the real life WWF or WWE.
Right.
You know, like all this stuff with Trump and the media and all that stuff. It's all just like shenanigans and games and like, oh, I'm trash talking you now. Now it's my turn to trash talk you and I'll stand my ground. And like, I'll stand my ground. And like, then the next thing you know, Donald Trump has a chair and he's bashing Jim Acosta over the head with it. It's really great theater. So the MLB did it. And of course the thing they got in trouble for was that technically triggered is a term that is meant to imply like it's not a slur, right? To say that someone is triggered, but it's a little bit of a, what's the word? Pejorative. Is that the right word?
That's a big word.
Yeah. It's a little bit like, you're kind of making fun of someone for the way that they're reacting by using the word triggered, because there are certain people who get triggered by things that are upsetting or whatever, right? So it's sort of become this...
Semantics, man. We're getting so sensitive on what words really mean.
But anyway, so I read this article on this thing, right? And then I was like, oh, man, did they really get in trouble for that? This doesn't seem like... And then I go, and there's like three people complained... With a total Twitter following of like 100 of all three people. Like, really? So this is what's happening? Three randos decided to make an issue out of this? And I'm like, good for it. And MLB did not take the tweet down. They just left it up there. But I thought it was good. You know, get a little fight going. Everyone can hate the Yankees. That's one of the things that Yankees fans love about being Yankees, is everybody hates them.
This next one is, I'm sure there's some... follow up on this, but the power outage in Arizona during the game that the power outage or before the game?
So during the game, and by the way, almost simultaneous with a power outage in Los Angeles, which is very strange, but they were caused for different reasons. In Arizona, it was caused by a haboob. Mm-hmm. Now you would think that with haboob being involved, it would be the Los Angeles one that was, because you never know if they're real or not. But this was a real haboob, and it was spectacular, to do a Seinfeld callback a little bit there for all you Seinfeld fans, which should be everyone, by the way. Yeah, so this, storm, it's a sandstorm, basically. Came through town, overloaded the power grid, and Chase Field suffered and was shut down for, I think, 45 minutes.
And wasn't there a tweet by a major league broadcaster that...
That's right.
He had to correct it because I don't remember what it was, but he called it the wrong thing.
Yeah, he said that the the power outage was caused by a baboon.
Right.
in Phoenix.
And then he apologized, said, "Damn spell check."
Yeah,
the autocorrect.
Yeah. Well, which is, makes you wonder, why does his autocorrect think that he wanted to say baboon?
I don't know. So Haboob goes to baboon.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Anyway, Haboob is one of the greatest words that there is, by the way.
It is. And
I mean, it's right up there with, like, autopsy.
Yeah, when I heard it, the first time I heard it decades ago, it was like, what the heck is a Haboob? And it's like, oh, yeah, it's just a sandstorm. It's like, okay, yeah. Makes sense.
Why not just call it a sandstorm? Because you can call it a Haboob.
Right. The technical term. Okay, that wraps up headlines.
Yeah.
Let's move on to starting nine. And guess what's around the corner? NFL season. So
training camps have started.
Yeah. Games start next week, preseason games. So we're getting all excited.
Yeah. We're going to get it cranked up here with some football films.
Awesome. Nine players with football film names.
Here we go. Rudy Gordon.
Good.
Rudy, right?
Rudy Gordon.
The Last Boy Scout Kingery. It's not really a football film, but it's about football.
Yeah, that's with, what's his name?
Uh-huh. And the other guy.
And the other guy.
And
the white guy and the black guy.
Yes. Damon Williams. Damon Wayans.
I can't believe his, Wayans and
Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis, yeah. I was saying he just got roasted. I haven't watched it yet. Have you seen it, The Roast?
I have not. I actually just was reminded of its existence yesterday, so
I'll check that out.
Next up, Jace Friday Night Lights.
Oh, very nice.
Jace Fry, young relief pitcher for the White Sox, might be their closer of the future. The sad, sad future of the White Sox. next is Ryan the Longest Yard Bro.
Nice.
Ryan Yarbrough there in the middle there. Michael Any Givens Sunday.
Nice.
All right, here we go. The Blind Alcides Escobar. The Blind Side.
Oh, The Blind Side. Okay.
Alcides Escobar.
Yep, got it.
Matt the Waterboyd.
That's good. I like that one.
Remember the Dellen Betitans.
That's good, too.
And wrap it all up with the classic Raphael Devarsity Blues.
There you go. Nicely done. But I'll tell you, though, I've just been this, like, just anticipation. My palms are getting sweaty. It's time for Around the Horn and the Baldwin Scale.
Here we go. So the
remind
Baldwin
everybody,
Scale.
Yeah, remind everybody what it is.
So the Baldwin Scale is a scale I came up with because general managers should not be graded on A, B, C, D, E, and F. Or I guess you don't do E's, but F's. Because really, no general manager is going to be perfect, right? No one's going to have like an A+. They're always going to make mistakes. And they're always going to be guys who are really bad, but not horrible, right? And so at the top, you have Alec Baldwin, right? Who's of the Baldwin brothers. You have four brothers. You have Alec, Billy, Stephen, and Daniel, right? There's some other Baldwins out there. Now there's Haley Baldwin. We won't get her involved. She's not really like an actor. So we're taking a look at like what general managers in baseball performed at the level of Alec Baldwin, right? Mostly successful, some problems, but overall that's what you would want. Billy Baldwin, a little more successful than you'd think, though not the superstar that everyone hoped he would be. Mm-hmm. Stephen Baldwin has had a little more troubles, a little more dubious acting career, and Daniel Baldwin, who is lucky to be alive. And this always serves as the time of year when I Google search to see if Daniel Baldwin is still alive. And he, as I mentioned last year, he has actually moved up a little bit. And it's no longer like a slur to say that someone is Daniel Baldwin, though in our case it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
The table has been set.
The table has been set. So we go each team, Baldwin.
Let's start out with the Braves.
Atlanta Braves. I'm going to say Billy Baldwin. I like the Gausman acquisition, but felt like, Oh, wait a minute. Didn't they get a reliever also? I don't like Brad Brock. That was why. Right. Okay. That's why. I don't like Brad Brock. I think that's a bad acquisition. Mm-hmm. But you know what? For where the Braves, you know what? I'm going to give them an Alec because this is where they're at. This is a team that's building for the future. They didn't give up much. That's an Alec, especially how Alec has sort of lowered his own standards, if you know what I mean. Oh, look, I'm on SNL doing an impression of Donald Trump that just looks like Donald Trump. Great. Nice job. You know, Donald Trump is a caricature of his own self, right, Alec? All right, Alec. Thanks.
That's an actor playing a role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, good. So we're gonna bump him up to Alec.
Okay, Mets.
That's straight Daniel Baldwin. Like, lucky to be alive. And look, I understand, like, Sandy Alderson's out with cancer, right? So there's not out with cancer. Like, he's out. He's out with a bad knee. He's out with a cancer. And so the team is really a mess. But they should have traded. And maybe they just didn't feel comfortable or whatever. But, you know, find a way to feel comfortable. Build this team.
Mm-hmm.
Fix this team. Start giving the fans something to hope for besides more rain.
Right, and the fact that they are holding on to a pitching staff that has been up and down, injuries and inconsistencies, and that they're like, well, we're going to put it all together next year. You might not. They had an opportunity, I think, to sell high, and they didn't.
You sell away pieces, and then, you know, you got Conforto. He's great. You got DeGrom and Syndergaard. Maybe you trade one of those for, like, a package of awesomeness.
Mm-hmm. They could have. One pitcher, if they just traded one.
Anyway.
Would have made a difference.
Yeah, that's a straight Daniel right there.
Phillies.
I'm going to say Billy. So that's good. So it's Phillies fans, don't get upset. That's a good thing. But they're in a weird position because, like, they're good. They're just not great.
Mm-hmm. Maybe if they had gotten Adam Jones, it would have made a difference.
I don't think Adam Jones would have made the difference. But, like, Asdrubal Cabrera, does that really help them? I don't know. I mean, J.P. Crawford's going to be back soon, and then you have a problem. Where do you put everybody?
Right.
And they keep building this offensive problem of where do you put everybody? I don't know. Not a big fan of it. But what could they really get? It's sort of a little bit like that. But you know what? That's the story of Billy Baldwin's career. It's not like he's turning down good roles. People just aren't offering it to them.
Right, right. Nationals.
Daniel, I think they should have sold. I think they should have gotten rid of Gio, and I think they should have gotten rid of Harper. And
did they do anything?
No, they got rid of Sean Kelly.
Oh, wow, that was a big move.
Yeah, he had mouthed off about something or other, so they DFA'd him. They designated him for assignment, as opposed to DGAF, which is don't give a... Anyway.
How about the Marlins?
I'm going to say Marlins or Steven there. Mm-hmm. The fact that they were able to get Brad Ziegler off the book, and by the way, who immediately imploded in Arizona, like, majestically so. 4 earned runs in an inning, like, just spectacular.
The Marlins are laughing.
Yeah, but they got that money off the books, and they got a couple of little pieces, and I would give them a higher than a Steven, but it's the Marlins, so let's just be thankful we're not Daniel.
Okay, let's move over to the AL East, the Red Sox.
The Red Sox are going to get an Alec because they got a good second baseman. Ian Kinsler has already hit the ground running, bunch of hits, good defense. I feel like they could have done a scotch more, but they're whatever. They're leading the league. Like, it's hard to criticize too much, you know. Mm-hmm. And they traded for Eovaldi the week before, so you got to count that as a little bit part of their moves, you know.
Yeah,
I like what they did. I would have liked them to do a little bit more for the bullpen, but maybe they'll pick up someone in August, you know, one of the after the waiver wire deadline.
Right. Yankees.
I mean, straight Alec Baldwin. I mean, as much as I hate the Yankees, Cashman, I mean, it's a perfect Alec Baldwin because, like, so many great moves, but then a couple of, like, well, wait a minute, who's going to replace Judge for the next month?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're just going to bring up a minor leaguer and hope that works out? Like, there's guys out there for free, man. You just throw, like, some A-ball, you know, catcher at a team, and everyone wins. But they made solid moves, and they got rid of players that actually were decent players but weren't going to be Yankees and were actually clogging the 40-man roster. Right. And, like, but just, like, really, really clever use of the system to improve the team without actually giving up anything, without really giving up much at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm really impressed.
Blue Jays.
Okay, that's going to have to be a Billy. They traded what they could. I'm sure they would have loved to trade anything else. But you know what? It's going to have to be a Marlins. They're going to have to get a Steven, actually.
Yeah.
This is, by the way, when I used to write this as a full column, this is exactly my process, is I would just randomly say it, and then as I'd start writing it out, I'd be like, nope, that actually sounds like a Billy. We got to move that up. Or we go, oh, that sounds like a Daniel. Let's move him down to the bottom.
Orioles.
Again, they get the Marlins treatment. That's a Steven. They traded some pieces. They didn't trade all the pieces, but they did a good job of not being Daniels.
The Rays.
I'm going to go with... Do we want to say Alec for this? Is it really three Alecs? I mean, they made smart trades. Like, they got rid of Archer. They got Glasnow back. I still think Glasnow is going to be a top 25 pitcher in Major League Baseball. And maybe just Pittsburgh wasn't the place for him. But now he can go to Tampa Bay and just sort of work on stuff. And they'll see if they can. They're doing that short starting pitching thing right now. They don't really have a starting pitcher on their team. It's all just bullpen games. It's a very strange way to run a team. But anyway, I'm going to give them an Alec just because like they're making strong moves. And even though they have a winning record, they didn't try to acquire players because they understand where they're at. I don't know. Maybe that makes them more of a Billy.
and they were doing okay. Much better, I think, than most people thought they would, given that they had what they had given up or
especially
lost.
Much better than you thought, John.
Yeah.
You were dogging them at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I didn't think they were going to be that good. But, you know, they always find a way to...
They do find a way to scrap it together. And some of their young pieces look good. Willie Adames, Jake Bowers. You know, now they got Tommy Pham. You know what? They got Tommy Pham. Let's say that's an Alec Baldwin. That's an Alec Baldwin. Come on.
That's a weird trade,
I think that's
though.
A great acquisition.
It is a great acquisition from the sense of, I guess if I'm Tommy Pham, I'm thinking, wow, really? you know, the Cardinals at least had a chance to progress upward, although we'll get to them in a minute.
Yeah.
Getting traded to the Rays is more of a, I'm going to be percolating for a couple of years before things pick up again.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
So one could say the same thing about the Cardinals, John.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. Well, with Matheny gone, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, they were talking about trading Bud Norris and selling off pieces. Like, that was going around. I think if they had gotten good offers, they would have become sellers. Like,
the Rays and the Cardinals are very similar. They're very similar in how they approach. They do the absolute best with what they have and have always done better than I've thought, you know, the team on paper looked.
Yeah.
Pirates. Let's move over to the NL Central. Pirates. Got to be an Alec, right?
I mean, they got Chris Archer. Like, we've never seen, it's so funny, the year after they trade Gerrit Cole and Andrew McCutchen, they wind up trading for a pitcher midseason. It's so strange. Mm-hmm. But I don't think Gerrit Cole would have been as good as he has been for the Astros because the Astros taught him how to cheat.
Right.
And the Pirates weren't teaching him how to cheat.
Right. So, yeah, his spin rate would still have been the same.
Yeah. Yeah, wouldn't be doctoring the ball like all the other Astros pitchers. Look into it, league. Just kidding. I just like conspiracy. Look, I love conspiracy theories so much, John. I never let them affect my life, but I do celebrate their existence. This is why I like that Alex Jones guy so much. I mean, some of the stuff he does is really horrifying, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think for a guy who's clearly doing a shtick, who is a national whipping boy, like, it's really just entertaining as heck. I mean, I guess some of the stuff is, now that I think about it, some of the Newton stuff or Newtown. Yeah, Newtown. Like, yeah. The false flag stuff, I'm not a fan of. That's something I wish these sites would dial back. But all the, like, you know, jet fuel can't melt steel beams, all that stuff, I'm into it.
Right.
Man, I am into it.
Yeah, those are good. Some of those things do have a foundation to build from.
Well, that's a great thing about any conspiracy theory is that you base it on something that's provable,
mm-hmm.
And then you just make up the rest. It's fantastic. Unless it's about a, you know, a massacre of children. Anyway. Right. Moving on.
Moving on. But from that high note, the Cardinals.
Right. So I'm going to just go with Steven on this. I don't think it was a Daniel, but it's the Steven that looks a little bit more like the Daniel than the Steven that looks like Billy. This is not like Biodome right. Steven here. This is lesser work. This isn't Usual Suspects Stephen Baldwin.
Right. There's a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cubs.
Alec Baldwin.
Full Alec?
Full Alec. They got Cole Hamels. Have you seen the numbers on the starting pitchers for the Cubs this year? Shockingly terrible. Like, shocking. Are you guys hearing this word? Shocking. This starting pitcher, like, Jose Quintana, you would know. You're in Mexico. Quintana. Right? You're the new resident expert on all these names. I expect you to pronounce them all with their all full correctly. Hispanic pronunciations.
Si.
Okay. Jose Quintana has turned into like a bad pitcher. They gave up Eloy Jimenez for this guy. And Eloy Jimenez... Sorry, now I'm... Eloy is hitting like 400 at AAA right now with all the home runs and the walks and the everything. This guy is going to be a monster for 10 years to come.
With the White Sox. They gave him,
with the White Sox. And Jose Quintana, which I hope I'm pronouncing correctly.
That's correct.
Has not been up to that standard, we'll just say. Disappointing. But I like the moves that they made. And if they get Chris Bryant back from injury, they don't even really need him. You know what I mean? Just put Javi Baez over at third and whatever. It's a great team.
Yeah. Brewers.
Did the Brewers get a starting pitcher? They got another reliever. And then, they did that. They did that weird thing where they like, we got another third baseman.
Mm-hmm.
And while we're at it, we'll get another shortstop or another second baseman.
Right.
And then it's like, where's everyone going to play? And they're like, we don't know. I saw them against the Dodgers. I'm not sure that's going to work. I'm not sure that whole setup that they've got going.
Picked up a good bat, though. Who was it?
Well, they picked up Scope and Moustakas.
Yeah, Scope and Moustakas.
But they're sort of like what they need is a shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
Scope's a second baseman that they can put it short. But I guess they missed out on Machado. So they were like, what if we just got like a couple of players whose numbers equal Machado?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying it now with the John pronunciation.
John pronunciation. Muchado. Muchado. Mucho anyway, Muchado. Mucho,
crazy.
Mucho Machado. Hard crazy. To say. Tongue twister for me.
Yeah. Like shocking and word and weird for me.
How about the Reds?
I would have liked to see. I'm going to give them a Steven, but I don't think it's a straight. It's not a straight Daniel because they should have traded Raisel Iglesias. I think you can get good stuff for him, but, you know. They got rid of Adam Duvall, and, you know, that clears up the outfield situation a little bit. And I don't know. Still would love to see them just, like, you know, keep their core, sell everything else off. But do they really have anything else to tell? You know what? They're going to be a Daniel. That's just a terrible team, and it's their own fault, just like Daniel Baldwin.
The Astros.
You know what? Benefit of the doubt, it's an Alec Baldwin, but we're not talking, like, Beetlejuice here. We're talking like, you know, made for Showtime movie or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, you know, the heavier stuff.
Right.
Where he's much heavier.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking Glengarry, Glenn Ross.
Right.
You know.
Don't get much better than that.
Yeah. Yeah. Coffee is for closers.
Right.
And all that good stuff. Yeah. So the Astros, again, they won the World Series. They didn't sell off any of their great pieces. They got Osuna. That gives them another problem just in terms of, like, that domestic violence issue or whatever. But they didn't give up really anything for him, and he's a very good pitcher. So, you know. Alec Baldwin's definitely the sort that would sell his soul for... for just a little bit more of the fame and the whatever. So, yeah, give the Astros an Alec Baldwin on many levels.
How about the Angels?
Alec and Billy here, we have like a, but I'm going to say Billy. Not quite Alec, but they did sell off pieces that they got rid of Kinsler, but they're still ready for next year. You know, just like Billy's ready for that next good role.
Right.
That no one will ever offer him, and Mike Trout will finish his career without ever having won a round of the playoffs. Hey, it gets bleak. It's the Baldwins, man. It ain't all happiness.
Right. Rangers.
I liked what they did. I'll give them a Billy. I still felt like they kept a couple of guys. I know they were trying to trade Beltre, but he was kind of like, I'm not so sure I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe for the right situation. He would have been a nice piece for the Red Sox, I think. Fill in for Devers, and then when Devers comes back, they just kind of move pieces around a little bit, keep people rested.
Well, they're still talking. Like, he may still move.
Yeah. We're just talking about what's at the trade deadline.
Right, right. I understand that.
Yeah, okay. But I'm just saying, like, what they might do in the future. Of course, if we're talking Baldwins, we're talking about what might do in the future. That's everything.
Right.
That's the beautiful thing about it. These people aren't just actors. They're also involved in our personal lives, and it's a glorious thing.
How about the A's?
The A's, I thought, were solid. I thought they were solid. We're going to give them – I always want to give Billy the Alec because he just finds a way. Billy Baldwin. Billy Bean gets a Billy Baldwin. Feels a little too – but I don't know. Like, this team is really performing well. And
yeah.
Got to give them an Alec.
They're now consistent. They were less than 500 in the first month and a half, 2 months of the season. Yeah. And then since then, they've been one of the best teams in baseball.
Yeah, and they've been beating up on the bad teams, which you're supposed to do.
Supposed to do. Right.
But they've also been holding their own against the good teams. And, I mean, Chris Davis has just been crushing home runs, so which he does. And then he'll stop for a month, and then he'll start up again. You just got to hope it all times out right.
And we said last week that Dylan Jerry DePoto would be active, and he sure was again. Not major pieces, and I don't know where he's getting these players to trade. But they still picked up like four players.
Yeah, and I'm going to give him an Alec because, like, he has gotten this team into the playoff hunt, and not just in the playoff hunt. Like, they're in the wild card. They're they have the second wild card right now, right?
They're
three games up on the Athletics, right?
I don't know if they're three. I think that they may be tied. No.
Oh well, never mind. Billy Baldwin,
straight up Billy.
Yeah. But that's mainly because of the Athletics being an Alec Baldwin.
Okay. That makes sense. Padres.
I'm going to say a Billy Baldwin because I felt they could have traded more, and I did not like the Brad Hand trade. I did not like that trade. I don't like the player that they got. I feel like you could have traded away the other guy. Like, he's such a good closer. And he's going to be a good closer for a few years. I don't know. And it's such a great contract. I mean, I thought that was a great move by the Indians. And, you know, they paid a lot, but they got two relievers. I don't know. I just felt like they could have done more, and they could have gotten – I didn't like who they got back. And anyway, so this is all, like, my personal opinion, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, maybe it's, like, a backdraft Billy Baldwin, you know? Like a really good Billy Baldwin. Like, super handsome, like, all the girls love him. We all know he can't act still, but, like, it's like, it doesn't matter. He's not acting. He's just being charming.
Right.
Right?
He's suave.
And trying not to catch on fire.
Yeah.
Check that door for heat, John.
Okay, where were we? Dodgers.
I mean, the National League version of the Yankees here, they stay under the luxury tax, right? Have you seen this lineup, John?
They have a powerful lineup.
Okay. They actually have a DH. they're a National League team that's ready to go with a DH. Last night they sat Chris Taylor and they ran out a lineup that was Jock Peterson, who hit two home runs, and then it was Manny Machado batting second. And then Justin Turner, then Yasmani Grandal, then was Matt Kemp playing last night. He might have taken the night. It's like it's Cody Bellinger.
It's a deep
Yasiel
team.
Puig is batting eighth. Brian Dozier, who they picked up, has hit a home run in each game. He almost single-handedly won the first game he played, and he had a home run, a double, and a single. I mean, just this lineup is ridiculous. And, of course, they got scored like 14 runs. They're going to score 14 runs every day. But this lineup is ridiculous. And then you pair that with Clayton Kershaw, who I will say has lost a little bit and may not actually be the best pitcher in baseball, or at least it's not so much like, well, it's just, he's just the best pitcher in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it might be that there's a, it's a little closer, or it is really close. It is really close now. If he's the best, then it's very close. But this team, and the only thing I feel like they missed out on was they got Axel Ford.
Yeah,
the from Toronto or whatever, mm-hmm. right? And I feel like they could have gotten one more guy for that bullpen, mm-hmm. but maybe they want to just wait and see what happens in August and see who comes across the waiver wire and stuff like that.
Right. They're still pretty deep.
Yeah, they're still pretty deep. But it's everything you want from a team, you know. Mm-hmm. They went out and they got Brian Dozier and Manny Machado to improve their offense.
Yeah, that helps.
They have trouble against lefties, so they went out and get two mashing, you know, righties.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah.
Super smart.
Giants.
I thought the Giants should have done more. They should have sold off more, but I do understand their position, and their sort of baseline is a Billy Baldwin because they won three championships in the last 10 years, so you have to give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. But those are starting to drift into the rear view, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So this fascination they have with the senior circuit,
right.
actually playing senior citizens in the senior circuit is it's got to change at some point. So, but you know, they didn't try to acquire players, so that was good.
Old players.
maybe Adam Jones will go play for them next year.
Maybe. Rockies.
What did the Rockies do? They got a reliever, right? I think that's all they did was they got a reliever. I don't know. What do you do with this team, right? You can't go get offense because you're jammed up. There's a log jam, right? They're mm-hmm. log jamming. It's the Rockies.
Right. They signed
a log jam in the Rockies.
Matt Holliday.
They signed Matt Holliday.
Yeah,
and then starting pitchers, like, I don't know. They don't want to give up. They have good prospects. The Rockies have good prospects. But I'm going to give them a Steven.
D-backs.
Now, they get an Alec because they did what they could do with the pieces that they had. And again, this isn't Glengarry, Glenn Ross. This is, yeah. But the three pitchers they got, which they got from around the league, should make their team better, even if Brad Ziegler did just, you know, get hosed last night. He didn't lose the game, but he blew the game out.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, you know, he imploded the game? I don't know. He didn't blow the save, but they just got mm-hmm. him in there to do some work, to kill some innings, and he wound up just giving up more runs. So,
how about the Tigers?
The Tigers, the best they can get is a Billy, right? Because it's just, that team's a nightmare. It's such a bad team now. But they, you know, they're trading away the little pieces and stuff. So we'll give them a Billy.
Indians.
I'm going to go with Alec because they got Brad Hand and Adam Simber. And then they get an outfielder too. Yeah, they got the Leonis Martin. That'll help. Mm-hmm. That basically is like a replacement. It's a little bit of an underrated acquisition because he was actually, even with his injuries, he was a two-win player so far this year. Sometimes you can make a team better by making the defense a little bit better. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, that helps all the pitchers and there's a whole trickle down and whatever. And so that was a nice acquisition by them. I'm going to give them an Alec.
Twins.
I'm going to give them a Steven because I think they should have sold more. Now, maybe they couldn't sell more, but you know what? It's not our fault. Stephen Baldwin did Biodome. Stephen Baldwin's fault. Stephen Baldwin did
right.
Biodome.
How about the White Sox?
White Sox are going to get a Billy. Technically, they could get an Alec, but like you just can't give an Alec to a team that's that much of a mess. I mean, though, there were times when Alec Baldwin certainly, remember that audio tape of him?
Right, that was horrible.
He was like yelling at his kid or whatever, right. And he was like, rawr, rawr, rawr.
Drunk.
Pretty great.
Angry
and
Alec.
Drunk and angry, yeah. So maybe that's what the White Sox are. They're drunk and angry Alec Baldwin.
The Royals.
Well, they got rid of Moustakas, right? And I don't know. That team looks like it's just, it's in for such a long winter, you know? Like, maybe 3 years from now. Like, worse than your fantasy baseball team, John. Your fantasy baseball team looks exciting in a couple of years.
Got some of the best you'd have prospects to give me an Alec, coming. Though, for some of the moves, right?
Oh, no, you're straight up Alec. All this, even, as much of a mess as your team is, the moves, like, I don't think you jobbed me, but you jobbed a couple of the other owners, and I'm impressed.
Well, that's what you do when you have nothing to look forward to.
You have nothing to lose.
Right.
You just wait it out. Like, no, I want more of your players.
Right.
No,
right.
I want more. You want Christian Yelich? I want more.
Right. So it worked out well. Yeah. So that wraps up Around the Horn, Baldwin Scale 2018 version.
Yeah.
Now it's time for extra innings.
Let's do it.
Let's take a look outside the world of baseball. So we have a 10-year-old by the name of Clark Kent.
Yes, actual name.
Beat a swimming record set by Michael Phelps 23 years ago?
Yeah.
So that's impressive. Is this the
by
new?
By a second.
Is this, and that's a lot.
Yeah.
So is this a phenom we should be keeping an eye on for?
Apparently. You know what his nickname, of course, is, right?
What?
Superman.
Superman. Yeah, of course it is.
There's no way that's going to mess up a 10-year-old, by the way. Name your kid Clark Kent, nickname him Superman. Great.
Right. He'll be like the Todd Marinovich of
It feels
the swim
a lot
world.
Like that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It feels a lot like cocaine and hookers are in his future. Oh, he's in a treatment facility for exhaustion.
Right. That's funny. Blake Griffin ordered to pay $258,000 per month in child support. Is this for multiple children or?
You know, I don't know, but he had a fiance and they had a child out of wedlock. And so for that sin, the state of California has decided to tell him he needs to pay her $3 million a year in child support.
That's ridiculous.
If you're ever wondering whether California is completely insane when it comes to these laws, yes.
Man.
$3 million
He's making
a
ton of money, but still.
He is. And that is how they do it, right? And
right. It's percentage of income.
It's just, they just look at what the woman is making and what the man is making, and or if it's a man and a man or a woman and a woman, what each spouse is making. And then they just say, okay, it's this percentage. And it's a numbers thing, and it isn't. The other thing I heard was that this woman also has a child with Matt Leinart.
But is only receiving
$150,000 a year.
Yeah, she shouldn't commingle those funds.
I'm just saying, she got to put you don't count the child support money as income.
Yeah.
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 So, jacks her number up.
Yeah, she's doing well.
Yeah.
Maybe a game plan there.
Yeah. Oof. I mean, I hope that when he the thing is like how could you possibly spend $250,000 a year a month, on a kid? Like what could a kid possibly need? It's such
monthly basis.
On a monthly basis. And then it's like when this guy's not playing in the NBA, do they lower the number? Cuz you know it's hard to get that number lowered once it's set.
Right.
Crazy. 18 years. Man,
yeah, that's
careful who you have babies with. That's what I always say.
Right. So this, I don't know if I'm disturbed by this.
You should be.
I never watched the show when it was on because I thought it was an insult to humanity's intelligence.
Yes.
But ALF reboot is in the works. Is that?
Yes.
Silly? Is it worth it?
Well, it just goes to show you where the creative people in the entertainment industry are really at right now, that they're going to reboot. Like, everything's about reboots now, right? Because, like, well, they don't want to try something new. And what they say is, like, well, there aren't any really new ideas. And, like, of course, that's a total lie.
Mm-hmm.
But ALF does have an established following. Blah, blah, blah. Suits, man. When Suits get creative, you get ALF reboots.
Right. Because it's a money play. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's just like, hey, look, we got a puppet. We're going to make $1 million.
Yeah.
They have a crazy trash-talking puppet, to replace Roseanne.
Right. Well, speaking of crazy trash-talking puppets, do you see that the Muppet rated R Muppet movie coming out?
I've seen the trailer for that, yeah.
It looks pretty, with Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, she's always great. Well, almost always great.
Yeah, that looks like it could be a hoot.
Yeah.
So last story of the week, Patrick Dempsey warns of an online scam for soliciting money. I don't know anything about this, but I'm sure you do.
Well, first of all, the first joke is people should know about money is It Can't Buy Me Love, starring Patrick Dempsey.
Which is a good movie.
It's solid. Yeah, it's solid. Which was remade, right? Like Money Don't Cost a Thing or Love Don't Cost a Thing or something like that. Which is a great idea to take a white 80s movie and then modernize it with African Americans. Brilliant. They honestly, it's brilliant. Because it's like it's a remake, but it's not a remake. But it's a it's very smart.
Right.
But yeah, so he had to go online and or go out to social media and whatever because someone has been impersonating him soliciting money.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow. Like it's like a big thing that a lot of people have gotten taken by fake Patrick Dempsey.
That's awful. What's wrong with people?
I don't know.
What's coming up next?
Take an in-depth look at how you can manage all of your financial assets on the next episode of Give Me All Your Money with host Patrick Dempsey.